right. We're here at Sharp Fast's Gallery on the 72 bypass. I tell you what, Thanksgiving is over and the Meet Me at the Diner rolls on, and today it is my utmost pleasure to introduce to you the treasurer for South Carolina, Curtis Loftus. Curtis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Ann, how are you? How is the conscience of the Savannah River Valley?
Well, I don't know. We're trying to keep everybody straight up here.
That's good. That's good. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of people down there. Greenwood, as I've told you before, Greenwood is a great place, and I'm always happy to speak to people in Greenwood.
Well, you know, we're looking forward to finding out more about what's going on at the treasurer's office. But one of the things that I was very interested just to have a few words about is the fact that you proclaimed, Saturday, November 19th as National Adoption Day.
Yeah, sure.
That was a pretty big thing.
Well, it is. And, you know, it's kind of odd. People say, what? What's the treasurer doing that? Well, for 10 or 12 years, I was full-time in the mission field. And I was, you know, I had started my own charity, and I funded it so I could do what I wanted to do. And we did a fair amount of work with orphanages. I didn't mess with the kids because I don't really have any talent with that kind of thing. I let other people teach and train and all that. But what I could do is remodel rooms. We could buy clothes. We could buy bedding. We could put in heating systems. You know, books and supplies. You'd be surprised what's involved with getting 150 kids ready for school.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so we were able to do that kind of thing. It was a lot of fun. What's fortunate enough was the Congress gave me a little bit of an award for that. And so when it came time this year, they said, hey, we want you to do this for us. So I did it. You know, it's kind of odd treasurer doing that. But it is important. You know, there are about 5,000 kids in the foster system in South Carolina right now. And a lot of them are great kids. They're doing no fault of their own. They're looking for somebody to love them, looking for somebody to help them have the start that, you know, we hope most of us had. So I was more than happy to do it. It's always a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I think that's terrific and brings attention to the kids that are in foster care, because sometimes we have a tendency to forget about it.
It's funny how things work out. You know, I think I'd have been a terrible parent because I would have been the kind of guy who would have bought their kid, you know, the son of a brand new Mercedes convertible for his 15th birthday and then taken away the day after because he made a B on a test. You know, I've just been terrible. So I never had kids. So this was, you know, by being able to do construction and finance these different programs, it was a lot of help. I mean, a lot of fun. So it was great.
That's great. That's great. Well, I know that was near and dear to your heart, and I certainly hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
I did. You know, like everybody else, I suspect. I ate too much, but also spent 3 or 4 days working on my land. And, you know, since I got in politics 18 months ago, I've gained a lot of weight. My hair's gone gray because I work too much. So I thought, well, this is great. I'll get out there and I'll go to work. Everybody else in South Carolina works hard. Why can't I? Well, if I killed me. I'm so sore now, I can't stand it.
Well, at least you know what you should get back to and what areas need a little work out there, Curtis.
Well, this whole body, you know, getting old is difficult. And then you watch guys like at the Carolina-Clemson game, you watch a 200-pound or 300-pound lineman run over some 200-pound back, and you think, oh, my gosh, I can't imagine. Physical labor is good for us, and I've got to keep doing more of it.
Well, you know, it keeps you sharp, particularly, I think, when you're dealing with all this political stuff that y'all have to deal with down there in Columbia.
Yeah, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but politics in the modern era is a nasty business. It's, it's a lot of unfair things are said. There's a lot of backbiting. It's like, you know, with the Internet now, you know, the Internet's effectively it's a bathroom stall wall, you know. Anybody can go in and paint. They can write whatever they want to. We're all public people, public personalities, so we can't really, there's no legal action. So it's a dirty business, and in Columbia, it's difficult. You know, I always say that the 4 blocks around the state house is a place where good people go crazy. You know, they're good, honorable people by home that work hard, come here, and they get involved in the system. And it's difficult to keep yourself moored, you know. And so that's one of the things we're trying to do is trying to break through those systems. We try to be accountable, trying to be transparent. I feel like the more information I can get the average person in Greenwood, the closer we are to cleaning up Columbia. And we need it. You know, our budgets keep growing. We keep hiring people. We keep giving big bonuses. We keep giving raises, even though we say we don't. We keep running up debts in the name of the public. And, you know, we got to do better.
Well, we do need to do better. And actually, one of my questions was, I was wondering how the audit of the treasurer's office is actually coming.
Well, you know, it's doing really well. We are, to bring everybody up to speed, we haven't had an audit, a full, what they call a GAS audit, since 1988, almost 24 years. So the very first thing I did was I ordered it. And I tried to get money from General Assembly. They wouldn't give me money. You would think everybody would want the place audited. So I was able to get it from different sources. You know, I took $5 from here and $10 from there, all my different programs, and gained that money. And it's really good. What we find out is we got great people. We've got honorable people. But we've got some systems problems, nothing that we didn't expect, because we knew that over time, if you don't have to, you know, if you don't have somebody standing over you with a stick occasionally to say you can't do something, things slide. So, you know, there's nothing that anybody should be alarmed about. But when we finish this process, and we haven't finished yet, and it probably takes another 6 months before the audit is finished and we've implemented all the new controls. But what we're going to have out of it is a state-of-the-art, modern treasurer's office that people just don't have to worry about their money. You know, I know that people, when they go to bed at night, the last thing is, oh, I have to worry about my money. But, you know, that thought is when people say, I don't want to vote, when people don't go vote, those are all the thoughts that people go through their mind. You know, they don't trust government. They don't trust that their tax dollars have been spent wisely. I mean, all these things. We've got to take these small steps, getting audited, having great controls, making sure that everything we do is transparent and accountable. And one by one, we want to pick off the doubting citizens out there, the people who don't trust government. We want to bring them back into the fold. We want you to trust us. I want you to trust us. And I want you to keep your finger on us and make sure we do, you know, the right thing.
Well, what's the you know, that brings up the question of the DOT and the Budget and Control Board, and how Governor Haley would like the director to report directly to her rather than to commission. What do you think about all that, Curtis?
Well, DOT has been a real disappointment. You know, it's a $1.1 billion agency, and I'm sure the people listening to your show will be shocked to find out that its primary account, the account where it pays all the millions and millions and millions of dollars out every month, it got down to $2.68 for 3 days during August. And DOT didn't call my office. They didn't call anybody's office. They just kept it quiet. And so what I've got to do, and we've done a pretty good job, I think, of getting it out there and letting people know that your DOT is broken and that they don't manage their money properly. But even more than that is they're not transparent. You know, we all make mistakes. I'm sure, you know, at the end of every day, I go home and I say, what mistakes did I make today? And I always have some. But the one thing that you can't do is hide them. You just have to be honest. You know, like we just talked about our audit. We've got some problems, and we're going to fix it. And when it's all over and said and done with, it'll all be detailed on our website. You know, we got to be honest because it's your money. You know?
Absolutely.
And so we owe the taxpayers, for some crazy reason in politics, we have it where the people who pay the money are the servants, and the people who spend the money, the people who benefit, the elected officials, we're the masters. And that's just, we got it backwards. And that's, you know, I have to double-check my website, but I think it's up, or either it's going up today. We decided to put, you know, my calendar online. That's been online since my first week. You can see everything I do, from this interview to if I take private time, go off on vacation, whatever I do is on my calendar, not just the public stuff. If I'm just sitting at my desk doing office work, it's on there. But we just did a new step forward, and I should know this. I should have checked this morning. But we have put up, or are about to put up today, my expenses, you know, my travel expenses. During the campaign, I criticized the previous treasurer for spending too much money on travel. So now we've done the math, and I'm spending about a tenth of what he spent. So we're proud of that. Yep. And it's going online. It may already be online, or it may go up today or tomorrow. I'm not sure exactly. But it just, because I hadn't seen. But so we're proud of that. Now, are you going to be worried about what I spend on my expenses every day? No. But if I do it, then why can't other politicians do it? And that way we don't have to question. We can always just go to the website and see what people are doing.
Sure.
And this is the transparency we need. We need transparency where it matters.
So you're leading by example? Is that what you're telling us, Curtis?
Yeah, and then, like I said, I think that's gone up either Wednesday of last week or today. what we're going to do next is, you know, we all have this big thing about ethics disclosures.
Mm-hmm.
Every elected official's got to file them, and they're pretty significant. If there's anything that went on during the year that could affect your vote or affect your official actions, the state wants you to file it. So, you know, if somebody takes me on a private jet or somebody takes me to the Super Bowl or something, that's got to be disclosed. Well, it only goes online once a year, and it's hidden away in a website that most people couldn't find if they tried.
What's the name of the website?
Yeah, it's the South Carolina Ethics Commission.
Okay.
But then once you get there, you got to wade through stuff. I'm not faulting the Ethics Commission, not because they do a pretty good job. It's just, you know, it's just the practical. You know, it's how things work. It's like getting your driver's license. You got to get in your car. I mean, you got to take somebody. Somebody's got to take you down to the station, and you know, it's just a lot of work. Well, what we decided to do is to go ahead and put my financial disclosures up every 3 months. That way, if you see me at the Heritage or if you see me at the Masters golf tournament and you know how much of those tickets are, you can look it up and see if I went on somebody else's tab while it's still in your mind. Who can wait 10, 12, 15 months to go check something out? And also, who can even find that stuff? Again, I know that by Curtis and, you know, the state treasurer putting this stuff online, it's not going to rock the world. But I tell you what I hope. I hope that when somebody comes down and they're running for governor or they're running for lieutenant governor or they're running for treasurer, they're running for any office, you'll say, well, why don't you have your calendar online? Why don't you post your expenses online? Let's make everybody be transparent. And what will happen is we'll clean up government. There's too much that goes on behind the scenes, and it goes on because we're not transparent.
Well, you know, back to the, that's very interesting on the ethics aspect of it, because people do pay for people to go to things.
Yes. Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and some of these events are like state sponsored. Like I went to the Heritage this year. The Heritage was sponsored by the state. They sent me free passes. So I, you know, I went, and I was thankful. You know, of course, I shook a lot of hands and I answered a lot of questions. You know, it's not all roses. You know, it's a lot of work, but also it was nice. So I put that on my ethics disclosure. I'm not sure I even had to because it was the state. But we want to put everything. And if you invite me down for a meal, we want to put it on there. It's just good business.
Well, you know, those are important to know where somebody's loyalties, I guess, are laying there, and that's, I guess, what you're selling us.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll tell you, Ann, it's serious business. I don't want to sit here and say, oh, everybody in Columbia is a crook. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that good and honest people can get wrapped up in things and not realize what's happening. And these little steps of putting your calendar online, putting your expenses online, putting your ethics online, that's like having your father looking over your shoulder. You know, very few of us when we were teenagers would go off and do stuff if our dad was sitting in the back seat of the car. You know,
hey, Curtis, did you ever go off and do something that your dad would have been upset about?
Oh, never. I was lucky. I had two little brothers, and they were both mischievous. So no matter what I did, I looked good. But you know that when you have that extra set of eyes, you really have to think about that.
Sure.
You know, if you don't, like being a constitutional officer from the governor down to the Secretary of Agriculture, there's no requirement for us to work. You know, we don't have to come to work. We don't have to show up. We don't have hours. We don't have vacation. We were elected for an executive position. We don't have to do any of that. And believe me, too many people, politicians, don't show up. They turn it over to staff. Well, you didn't elect staff. You elected a man or a woman to do a job, and you want to hold that person responsible. So if the average person in South Carolina can work as hard as they do for a lot less money, then the least we can do is show up and work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you know this? In the year 2000, South Carolina was 39th in per capita income, made an average of about $33,000 a year. This year, we're 45th in per capita income, averaging just over $29,000.
That's terrible.
So we're sliding back, but I tell you who is doing good is our government. Our government budget grows every year. We have more and more people want to be in politics because it's a great thing to do. You can, you know, as these officers, you don't have to work very much. You know, the only talent that seems to be needed in politics these days is the ability to ask for money. If you can raise money, the rest of it's easy.
Well, Curtis, what about the Budget and Control Board? I know you've had a lot of concerns about Governor Haley and wanting to change the structure of that, and that may be something that's taken up next year, although I've talked to several politicians who say next year and not much is going to get done.
Yeah, it's an election year. I spoke with the governor and a few other people last year, and I said, this is the year, you know, I'm talking about the last year, this was the year to do pension reform, restructuring government, because it's not an election year. And those are hard subjects, and it's going to take mature people working hard and taking some hits. Well, they didn't do that. They put it off, and they go, and you know, especially pension reform. And these are huge issues. I mean, what happens is, you know, you got every single member of the Senate and every single member of the House is up for re-election. So I don't see a lot getting done, even though I'm hopeful. You know, I'm hopeful.
Well, what do you think about the Budget and Control Board? Do you think they have too much power, or what is your feeling about it?
Well, you know, a lot of people won't know what we're talking about. The Budget Control Board is the governor, the treasurer, the comptroller general, and the man from the Senate Finance Committee, and the man from the House Ways and Means. And so those five people, and they run the technical side of government. They run, you know, the motor pool. They run the buildings. They run the insurance programs, retirement programs. They run human resources. All that kind of boring stuff that you don't think much about, you know, like the second injury accident fund, you know, that stuff. But it's huge business. It's big business. That stuff is generally under the governor's office in most states. Not always, but most states. And so what we do is we do
it in
this
state. But in South Carolina, it is not, correct?
That's right. In South Carolina, we do it with the Budget Control Board. Now, I used to be a big proponent of saying, let's get rid of the Budget Control Board. And let's send those responsibilities to either the governor, you know, to where they need to go. Some will go to the governor, maybe some to the lieutenant governor, maybe some to the treasurer. I mean, they'd be all around. But I don't think that way now. And my thinking is not permanent because it's likely to change, but South Carolina's government is not transparent enough. Like DOT.
Mm-hmm.
DOT has got $100-$150 million hole in its budget, and the governor's office and other people will not tell us what it is. So why do we want to transfer more authority to agencies or administrations that aren't transparent? You know, if you read the state newspaper, you see where the governor's office destroyed all its email. They don't want you to know what they're doing. We save all our email. They destroyed all theirs. So my thought is, and I'm not picking the governor out or lieutenant governor or anybody out here. I'm just, at least with the Budget and Control Board, we have five members and our meetings are open and they're public. So the public can see what's going on. And I can always get up there, and, you know, I talk a lot at these Budget Control Board meetings. And you know, we had the DOT, we had Commerce in there, we had the universities in there, and I give them a hard time. If all that responsibility was, say, just in the governor's cabinet, we'd never hear a bit of it. If it wasn't for the Budget Control Board, right now, nobody would know that DOT has a budget problem over $100 million. Nobody would know that they can't tell you how old their bills are. You know, if you're a businesswoman, you know what your bills are, 30, 60, 90? DOT can't tell you that.
Well, are you saying that it would be covered up if it was under the governor's office?
Well, I'm saying that the only reason, well, it's you know, DOT is part, is a, well, excuse me, DOT is a cabinet agency. It is a governor's cabinet agency. They do also have a commission, but the commission generally works on what roads to pay. That's not the executive side. The executive function, the bookkeeping, the human resources, you know, the washing of the trucks, that stuff, that's all done as part of the governor's cabinet. And the only thing I'm saying, I don't want to make this personal between me and the governor here. I just want to say that I don't find the current South Carolina government transparent enough to put a whole bunch more authority under one person. But I think we just won't know what's happening. You know, we've got to know more. And as we develop ways to make government more transparent, then we can do that. Budget Control Board is not an evil thing. It's not maybe not the best thing in the world, but it is public. And if you send them a Freedom of Information Act, you'll get it. They save their emails. They save their public documents. And there are five different elected officials that have something to do with that board. And one of them will always take up an issue.
Well, I know, Curtis, you had some problems with the Budget and Control Board meeting and not including you.
I did. Well, you know, for a while, for 6 months, we had an executive director of the Budget Control Board, well, let's just say, was not ideal. This woman is no longer there. We have a new director now, and she is wonderful. She is fair. She is honorable. If she says something to you, you can count it. You know, you take it to the bank, as they say. And that was just an executive problem. We had the wrong person in that job. The Budget Control Board is a billion-dollar agency. I mean, they run the retirement system. Retirement system has $27 billion in assets. All this runs under the umbrella of the Budget Control Board. So you can see it's a huge job. And the person that ran it from January to June should not have had that job. But so we're fortunate. The person we have now, a lady named Marcia Adams, is ideally suited for it. She's honest. She's fair. She communicates well. She's just a good person. She's the kind of person you want to have in your business or have as your neighbor. And that's the kind of people we need in government.
Well, now, talking about the retirement fund, there seems to be some question about how it's going to be funded futuristically.
Yeah. You know, the retirement fund has a 30-year horizon. That's a long time. You know, you think about 30 years from now. So we're not too concerned about today or tomorrow because we got plenty of money for that. We got to look for the next generation. We spent too much money over the last 10 years in retirement. So we got to right that ship. There's a lot of interest here in Columbia on how to make it right. I think what's going to come down to is the taxpayers are going to have to pay some more, the government employees are going to have to pay some more, and the new people, people not yet hired, are going to have less benefits. And I think all three of those things are okay. I think state employees, they know they have to pay, and they're okay with it. I mean, obviously, they want to pay as little as they can, but they understand if they want their retirement, they got to pay the freight. Taxpayers are going to have to do the same. They don't have a choice.
Well, now, what about the issue where people retire and then they go back to work?
Yeah, that's a real problem. I think Terry was what that's called.
Right.
I think that'll go away. I think we'll probably head toward a system where you can no longer retire at 28. You'll have to retire at 30 years. There's a half a dozen things like that. But that's not, except for Terry. Terry will probably go away, and it will go away immediately. So if you're in the system for Terry, you can stay, but you wouldn't be able to join it. But most of the things are going to affect people who aren't even hired yet.
So we're talking about the future, just like we're talking about the future with Social Security, right?
Yes, that's right. And, you know, I have studied this stuff till I'm blue in the face. It is so complex when you get down in the weeds of it. But the average person doesn't need to know that. The average person just needs to know we spent too much. We have a fund, and we have spent too much. We've got to slow down the rate at which we're spending. We've got to increase our income. And that's all you have to know. And, you know, the folks right around Greenwood get that. And so now we just have to do it. And that's the will. That's the political will, and I hope we have that political will now that it's an election.
Well, I think that's the scary thing is that decisions could be put off for another year.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a problem not only with the state government, but with our federal government.
That's right.
So Curtis, you know, I've noticed that you are, you're still paying off campaign debt.
Oh, yeah. You know what,
What's the deal here, Curtis?
Well,
I'm talking about being state treasurer here.
No, I backed into politics, and I didn't mean to run for office. We just had somebody that I didn't think should be in the office. So I said, I'll do it. And I got into it with a 3 days notice. And from the time I got into the race to the time of election, it was 3 months. And I beat the guy. So I had a campaign debt. And I'm managing that debt. I didn't raise money because I didn't feel comfortable. You know, the average politician can do what? They can raise money. They'll look at you and say, you know, I want a check from you. I want a check from your mama. And I want, you know, why are you buying your kids new shoes? I want that check. That's what politicians do. They raise money. I hate to raise money. I like to write checks. I spent the last 12 years of my life doing charity work, writing checks. So it's hard for me. But one of the things I did want to do was during my first 8 or 10 months, I did want to go out and try to raise money and say, look, I'm going to be a good treasurer. You know, think about that. I'm going to be a good treasurer.
Sure.
Again, it's that whole thing about transparency and accountability. You know if I'm going to be a good treasurer or not. Now, I've just started raising money because after the 10th month, we got serious about it. Now we've got a record. I think people know that I will stand up to anybody and protect the treasury of this state. I will stand up to the governor or the lieutenant governor. It doesn't matter who it is. I'm not going to let anybody assault the treasury of this state. And I've got a good record. You know, we pointed out the problems at Patriots Point. We pointed out the problems at DOT. We pointed out the problems of the retirement system. You know, I was the one that had to sit at the table and argue and win the battle over the retirement system's executive director getting a $70,000 raise for one day's work.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so my job is not an easy job, but I've got a record now. So what I've got to do now is I've got to get out and raise money. And I've been raising some money, and I'm happy about that, and I've got to raise more. I'm not good at asking. But now that I've got that, now that I've got the a track record, it's easier for me. Now I've got to raise all that money. Everybody else got into politics a year or two in advance of the election, and they started raising money that way. I just did it backwards.
You just did it backwards.
I'll leave you this. I don't want anybody in the state to think anything I say is along the lines of trust me. I just don't want that. I want to put my calendar online so you can see how I work. I'm going to put my expenses online so you can see that I'm not spending your money unwisely. I want to put my ethics online, my disclosure, so that you can see that I'm not being influenced by other people. And when it comes to fundraising, I don't want anybody to send me a check on a promise. I want you to now say, this guy's fighting for us. And in many times, he's the only one in Columbia fighting for it. Because I can tell you, I'm out here by myself. Everybody talks about accountability and smaller government and treasury and transparency and stuff. But when I vote in the Budget Control Board, most of the times it's 4-1. You know, and so I'm always out here by myself, and people know that. Now people are starting to help me. So, again, I didn't want to be saying to the people, send me a check. Trust me. I want people to look at what I've done and then buy into it and say, okay, this guy's my guy. And so that's where I hope we are now. And we're going to get serious about fundraising. We've had a pretty good quarter so far.
That's great.
A couple more little fundraisers for the end of this year. And I think we'll made a good little lick at my debt this quarter.
Well, I need to ask you about your support of Mitt Romney.
I love Mitt Romney. You know, I come from the Tea Party wing of the party. I come from the most conservative section. So some people gave me a hard time about this. But
do you think that Mitt Romney is conservative enough for the Tea Party?
He's conservative enough for me. And I think as we get closer to Election Day, there's a lot of things going on here. One is there is absolutely no value whatsoever in coming in second place in a race for president.
You're right on that one there.
Yeah, second place is last. Second place, I will not lift a finger if I think I can't win. What's the point?
Right.
We've got to win. And it's not winning South Carolina. And I understand. I mean, a lot of my great friends are backing other people. And I say to them all the time, if America ever needed a turnaround specialist, and that's what Mitt Romney is. He's been doing that in his business life for 30 years. Now's the time. We are in a terrible shape. And we can look for that perfect candidate who is exactly as conservative as we want him. And then we can let Barack Obama be president for 4 more years.
Well, what do you think Mitt's going to have to do to win here in South Carolina?
Well, I think he's got to stay the course. You know, everybody else is going up and down, up and down. And what happens is they're running their campaign so that they can win the election. They can win the news cycle for the day. Mitt Romney's running his campaign so he can win the election. And what he's doing is slow and steady. He's expounding his conservative ideals. He's putting them out there. Are there more conservative people in the race? Sure they are. But you got to win Ohio. You got to win Pennsylvania. You got to win Florida. You got to win Colorado. And those people can't win those states. South Carolina is an easy state. If Ann Ehlers or Curtis Loftus runs as a Republican for president in South Carolina, we're both going to win. We're going to beat Barack Obama. That's if this state's going to go for a Republican. We can run my dog who's going to vote for a Republican. But that's not the case in these other states. If we don't win those swing states, we get 4 more years of Barack Obama. And every conservative in this state has got to make up their mind. Do we beat Barack Obama, or do we feel good about ourselves? We've got an excellent opportunity in Mitt Romney. You know, Ronald Reagan ran 3 times before he finally won. It just wasn't his time. The country is in a financial mess. It's in a governmental mess. And Mitt Romney has been turning huge businesses around. 25 years. He turned around the multi-billion-dollar Olympics when nobody said it could be done. So he's who we need right now. And this is the time for him. And I think as the election gets closer and closer and closer, you'll see that who wins South Carolina.
Well, I would love to have Mitt Romney on my radio show.
Well, I'll do what I can.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. Now, so Curtis, you firmly believe that Mitt Romney, hands down, of all the other candidates we have out there, Mitt Romney is the one that can do this job for the country.
I do. I do. You know, let's put it this way, Ann. You're a businesswoman. You've been successful. If you look at the Democratic Party in Washington, D.C., and if you look at the Republican Party in Washington, D.C., start off at the top. How far down do you have to go to find somebody who actually has ever run a business? And even more so, how far down do you have to go before you find somebody that you let run your business? Mitch McConnell, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, all these people, they're professional politicians. They've been doing this since you and I were in diapers, these people have. You know, one interesting thing was, I didn't realize this, if Newt becomes president, he will be 70 years old when he becomes president, older than Ronald Reagan.
Well, I thought it was real interesting, Curtis, when they asked Joe Biden if he'd run for president after if Barack Obama was elected again. He goes, he wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah. Once people get in politics, they never get it out of their system. They love being worshipped. They love Mr. Vice President, Mr. Treasurer, Mr. Governor, Mr. whoever. They get into this and they love it. And you know, Ann, it's just not right. We have these offices for a little while, and the only thing we have to remember about what's important. 10 years ago, we were 39th, making $33,000 a person. Now we're 45th, making $29,000.
What do you think about the jobs? What do you think about the jobs that are coming into the state? We have had some good companies signed to bring bigger jobs and better-paying jobs into the state.
I think that's great, but we don't have enough of them. And announcing a job and that job showing up are two different things. So, you know, some of these jobs may show up in 5 years or may not. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't plan a job that may come in 5 years to me. I applaud what the governor's doing. I'm glad we have a governor that's pro business. That means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it means a lot that we've got a Commerce Department. Bobby Hitt's a great guy. I mean, you won't find me criticizing Bobby. He's a great guy out there. He works hand in hand with the governor, and they're doing their best. We got to do more. And a lot of it's right here. We got to make sure that we don't tax people. We got to make sure that our rules and regulations aren't prohibited. We have a problem. There are like 76 different ways you can lose your driver's license. Now, some of them, of course, are important, DUIs, the speeding, stuff like that. But, you know, if you're 20 years old and you're at the beach and your car is in Greenwood, and you get caught with a beer in your hand, they take your driver's license away.
Mm-hmm.
That puts you on SR-22 for 3 years. And then when you get out and try to go get a job for a service company paying you $20 or $25 an hour, it's on your record that you lost your license. I own a service business. We can't find people with clean driver's license. And so there are lots of things we can do here. I need two good employees with high school degrees, who, you know, clean cut and ready to go to work, that have clean driver's license. Can't find them. You know, you can lose your license, you know, if you don't pay child support. Well, of course, I'm all for paying child support. Don't get me wrong. I think we got to take anybody who doesn't pay child support, we got to take them out in the backyard and beat them up. You know, that's what we need to do. Put them in the stocks and throw tomatoes at them. I don't care what you do because they deserve it. But when you take that driver's license from them, they can't work. So they don't pay anybody or anything. And we do that, and as far as a working community, you ask anybody who's got a service-type business, you know, truckers, can't find people with these things. So our interest.
So what's the answer?
So there are lots of things we can do here in South Carolina to encourage business, and we need to do those things.
Well, I do think that we do need more help for the businesses that are already here.
I agree, 100%. You know, I've been in business. My daddy started my business. We've been in business now 48 years. I've been running for about 30, and never got a thing from the government but tax. We've got, you know, I got almost 15 employees. You know, we give tax advantages and other things to people who bring in less than 50 jobs.
Right.
And so it's hard. And you know, and I don't want to second guess the governor or Commerce, because I'm not into those decisions. I just trust them, because I think the governor is really pro-business, and that's a great thing. You know, some people just aren't. So we have to work hard, but we've got to remember, the average person in South Carolina makes $29,000, and I'm sure Greenwood is less than that. Greenwood is 28,000. We're failing the people. I mean, the Columbia group of leaders, the people that get elected from around the state, we are sent here to serve the people of this state. We're doing a poor job. We were doing a better job.
Well, let me ask you something, Curtis.
To get too expensive, we lost our taxes. Get too expensive. We have capital cronyism in this state, like you wouldn't believe. We have a lack of accountability and transparency that allows all sorts of things to go. We've got to do better.
Well, you know, Governor Nikki Haley, she graded all the representatives and senators here. What do y'all think about the performance that the others that aren't elected to office? What do you think about that?
You mean the bureaucrats?
Well, Curtis, you're an elected official. What do you think people would grade you? Did you get graded by the governor?
I would have given, I mean, it would have been perfect. I mean, I'm sure I was.
You would have gotten a perfect 4. Grade?
4.0, I don't have any doubt. Listen, anybody wants to come by here, or I've made mistakes. I know I've made mistakes. I mean, I've looked back, and I mean, not terrible mistakes, but I look back and say, you know, I could have done that this way or that way. But I can promise you this. I work in this office 50, 60 hours a week, and I'm serious about my job. And we're doing things the Treasurer's Office has never done before. Like, we put out our banking for bid for the first time in 13 years. You know why it didn't go out in the last 13 years under the last four treasurers?
Well, people were comfortable.
Because it's a lot of work, too.
Right.
But let me tell you what we've done. We pay about $7 million a year in banking fees.
Wow.
We saved $1 million. How about that?
That
was only in the first part of the RFP. That was service to service. You know, we said, you know, we have 475 accounts. How much you can charge us? And we did service to service.
Well, now, that's where business people make. That's where business people make such a difference in politics.
Well, see, that was there's a two-step process. The first step was fee to fee. What we said is we're paying this much. What would the other banks do this work for this much? And so they lowered it $1 million. Now we're going service to service. We're saying, okay, we've got this whole basket of services, but do we even need these services? Do we have too many checking accounts? Is there different ways to do this? So I think we're going to save another $500,000. So you look, from $7 million, I think we'll go down $1.5 million.
That's terrific.
That's one thing alone. The College 529 Savings Program, $1.8 billion, hadn't been out for bid in 10 years. We put it up for bid. The RFP is out, and that is a great program. But when people see the new program, they're going to look back and say, wow. I tell you what's killing us. I mean, you're talking about work. We put out a $27 billion custodial contract. Now, I don't mean cleaning houses. Custodial trust banks, the banks that hold in custody the assets of the state, our stocks, our bonds, those things. We put that out. I can't tell you how much work my staff is doing. Millions and millions of dollars a year we do in that. And it's just so complex, I won't even try to even talk about it now. I'm pretty an expert on it. But it's so complex. But we put that out for bid. It's going to take us the better part of 8 months to do this. People working on it all the time. Reams and reams of paper. But when it's over with, we're going to pay less, and we're going to get more service, and your assets are going to be better. So the Treasurer's Office is hustling. We're doing everything we said we're going to do, and sometime here at the end of the year, we're going to put out something to be done. But I can say that I inherited 60 folds here in the office. Let me tell you, they're great. I don't have a problem with any of them. They work hard. They suffer from a lack of leadership. That's been a problem. And we all, you know, suffer from a lack of leadership. I always need somebody over my shoulder, just like you probably need somebody over yours. Yours are called customers. Mine are called voters.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we can do more for this state. Daggone it, we're going to. Now, I don't know how long I'll be in politics. I may get thrown out after one term. I may not run for re-election, or I may run for a different office, or I may run for this one. You know, I got lots of options. One thing I know, Ann, is I don't own this office.
Who does?
That's it. Y'all do. I think about that every day, and that gives me such freedom. It gives me the freedom to stand up to people. I don't care what you say. We're not doing this. You know, I sent out a Freedom of Information Act for a government employee. Travel,
yes.
Expenses, and calendar. Because they wouldn't give it to me. Can you imagine that?
No, I can't.
And so that makes you wonder why, doesn't it?
Absolutely it does.
But it's all government money, one way or the other. And as long as I'm treasurer, as long as I'm in this office, I'm going to track it down. I'm going to track every penny because it's not my money, it's Dan's.
Well,
we know all the money you've got, sister.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, let's hope so. We were supposed to have Black Friday on Friday, Curtis. I'm not sure I'm there yet, but we're working on it here at Sharp Facets Gallery right here on the bypass in Greenwood.
Well, listen, I appreciate your time, and talked a little more long-winded than I thought. Maybe I need to have one less cup of coffee than I should have. But, you know, this is just serious business, and I'm not much of a politician because if you ask me a question, I'll give you an answer, and I'm just doing the best I can. And, you know, and people say, well, Curtis, you shouldn't say this, and what I'm about to say, which is, you know, I could get thrown out of office. I could. That's exactly right. And once you accept that, then you're free. And I'm free to stand up for the folks of Greenwood County. Y'all are good people down there. You've got some good representatives. You've got some good government down there. Greenwood's a special place. It's one of two or three or four special small towns in this state. But your government in Columbia does not represent you well enough. I'm on the case, and I'm going to do what I can.
Well, Curtis Loftus, State Treasurer Curtis Loftus, thanks for calling us here today, and keep up the good fight, Curtis.
Thanks, Annie. Good luck with your business.
All right.
We need your tax dollars in Columbia.
All right. I know you do. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.